Grimm and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast. And you know, folks, we've been on a quest ever since the Lord spoke to me about Oral Roberts. On the day he departed, or the day I heard about it was actually the next day, I sat down to pray about what God had shown me concerning what would happen at his death and his departure. And I sat down to pray about it, and the Lord said to me, I heard his voice. Oral Roberts knew to tap the power. Others simply lapped the power. They run laps around it as if it were a burning bush. And then I thought, they do know it's there. They preach about it. And then the Lord took me to the woman with the issue of blood. The power was in Jesus. A multitude thronged him. They lapped the power. She tapped the power and was made every whit whole. Jesus did not know who touched him because he operated as a man. He only knew what the Holy Ghost showed him, and the Holy Ghost didn't tell him or didn't show him who touched him. It says he looked around diligently to find out who had touched him. He questioned, who did this? Who did this? But he had felt something. He felt power. The power source was in him. He felt it flow out of him. That word, King James translates it virtue, but it's the word dunamis. The dynamic, inherent, producing power. He felt it flow out. Who did this? Who did this? And then she came and told all. Bless the Lord. I'm looking for Billy Brim, but mostly for the whole body of Christ. How do we tap that power? How do we manifest that power to the multitudes that will cause and draw them to the Lord? The big crowds came to Jesus because they saw manifestations of the power. And so one of the things that I see is what Brother Kenneth E. Hagin talks about in his book, Following God's Plan for Your Life. And he said that he was thinking and considering some things. He said, there seems to be a lack of deep consecration to do God's will among some Christians today. Recently, I was thinking about the difference between my experiences in full gospel circles 50 years ago, that would have been the 40s, and today, it was the 90s when he said this. As I compared full gospel believers then and now, I realized there wasn't nearly as much sickness among spirit-filled Christians 50 years ago as there is today. So, you know, Brother Hagin, he had a strong call to minister to the sick, and I've been there when he would call for the sick to come forth, and here came vast numbers, and most of them church people, you know, saints born again. And Brother Hagin said, I remember, this is on page 48 of his book, the great manifestations of the Holy Spirit we used to experience in our meetings. The move of the Holy Ghost was much greater and in more consistent demonstration back then than it is today. As I was thinking about this, the Spirit of God said to my spirit, yes, and the consecration of my people was greater too. Well, Brother Hagin said, let that soak in. He said, I'm thoroughly convinced of the truth of what the Lord said to me. The consecration of believers was much deeper 50 years ago than it is today. Believers' appreciation and reverence for the things of God and the move of the Holy Spirit was much deeper. And as a result, God honored that depth of consecration and reverence by giving his people great manifestations of the Holy Ghost. Believers today need greater consecration and dedication to God. In the churches I pastored in the 40s, we used to gather around the altar and pray at the end of nearly every service. I've heard him say that if he were a pastor today, he'd have an altar service at the end of every service. He said it was there that they came to that altar and they prayed and they got with God. He said, I had almost no counseling to do because the saints got their answers from God around that altar. He said, we would pray and we would sing the old hymn, Is Your All on the Altar of Sacrifice Laid. I've been singing that and talking about that and giving the words. The chorus goes, Is Your All on the Altar of Sacrifice Laid? Your heart does the Spirit control. You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield him your body and soul. Now I'm going to pick up and read some things that I haven't read in other days. You know, Brother Hagin was sick. He was born again. He was on the bed of sickness for many, many months of his life when he was 16 years old. It was there that he gave his heart to God. And the Lord, then he said these things. This is Brother Hagin's word, page 53. We will only experience the fullness of God's plan and the full measure of his anointing. Do you hear that? The full measure of his anointing. His anointing is the Holy Ghost for power. We will only experience the full measure of his anointing, the dunamis, and blessings on our lives if we are willing to obey him in every area of our lives. You see, God wants us fully surrendered to his will. He knows if we're not willing to obey him in one area, and that unwillingness will carry over into other areas of our lives and will hinder us from running the race he has set before us. He talks about when he was off that bed and when he said, Lord, I told him after he was born again, you get me up from this bed of sickness and I'll go preach. That was another way of saying, not my will, Lord, but thy will be done. It was my way as a teenager of praying the prayer of surrender and consecration. 16 months later, the Lord raised me up supernaturally as I prayed the prayer of faith, and I've been preaching ever since. I've prayed the prayer of consecration countless times since then. And he gives several instances of it. You'll be blessed if you get the book. You can get it from us for $10. Call us at 1-800-972-3447. That's 1-800-972-3447. And we will send you Following God's Plan for Your Life by Kenneth E. Hagin. Many Christians, he writes, have never surrendered everything to the Lord. They are willing to make Jesus Lord of part of their lives, but sometimes they aren't willing to give up control of certain areas that their carnal nature holds dear. Some believers profess they've laid everything on the altar, but in reality they're holding back a part of themselves from the Lord. It's so important to make a quality decision once and for all to go all out for God and follow his plan for your life. That decision will be an anchor to your soul to keep you in God's perfect will when the devil tries to bring his best temptations into your life to distract and deter you from the plan of God. You see, the devil will bid high for you. He'll use his best temptations to try to keep you from obeying God. If you've never fully surrendered everything to the Lord, you stand in danger of being persuaded by the devil's temptations to pursue your own will and fleshly inclinations and desires, and to lose out on God's best for you. Many Christians are at a crossroad in their lives right now. In other words, they face decisions that will affect the course of their lives. They're at a crossroad where they must decide if they're going to consecrate themselves fully to do God's will, no matter what he asks them to do. Believers who stand at a crossroad can choose to follow the path of their own plans and desires. That path may look wide and bright and stretch straight before them as far as their eyes can see. But if they continue to lean on their own understanding and disobey God, that straight, wide path will eventually lead them into darkness. In other words, believers who don't choose the perfect will of God will encounter trials in this life that God never intended them to encounter. On the other hand, the path God has planned for obedient believers may seem narrow, seem to go over mountains and through deep valleys. God's path might have bends and curves in it that sometimes obscure their view. Believers who follow God's way may not always be able to see very far down the path, because following God is a step-by-step walk of faith and obedience. But despite the difficulties that lie on the path of obedience, such a great future in the Lord awaits those who choose to walk in God's ways. You might say, no, I don't much believe I want to take that narrow curving path where I can't see what's ahead. I don't know where it's going. I can see the other path stretched out wide and straight before me. But if I go down that narrow road of God's choosing, I can't see beyond the mountains. That way of obedience looks rugged and difficult. But the road of disobedience is the one you must choose if you want to follow God's plan for your life. No, excuse me, the road of obedience. Maybe I said disobedience. The road of obedience is the one you must choose if you want to follow God's plan for your life. And as you choose to obey God, He will furnish you with the power and ability to climb over the mountains you're facing right now, as well as the mountains up ahead that you can't see yet. Your path will grow brighter and brighter, and many other lives will be influenced for Jesus because of your obedience. For you see, it is on the path of obedience where God reveals His glory, and your strength is renewed day by day. And when you finish your course and meet Jesus face to face, how glad you will be that you obeyed God. Each of us will experience many crossroads in our lives, some more crucial than others. At each crossroad, we must renew our commitment to do the Lord's will, not our own. That's why we must pray the prayer of consecration over and over in our walk with the Lord and dedicate ourselves to follow and fully obey Him and His word. Consecrate yourself wholly unto the Lord. Even though in your natural mind you want to follow your own plans, consider yourself dead to carnal inclinations. Hallelujah. This will cause your spirit to rejoice. You will make your way prosperous. You will be fulfilled beyond anything your natural mind can imagine. There's simply no comparison between a life that's lived by walking in the flesh and one lived according to the perfect will of God. And he gives a prayer of commitment to pray unto the Lord. Bless the Lord. Lord, I present myself unto you. May your will be done in my life. May I never forget that I have surrendered all I am to you. I commit myself to be one whom you can use, consecrated and separated unto your purposes. I'll pay the price by denying the flesh. Praise the Lord. You know, I kind of got stuck on this week. I intended to go further, but to know the power, the church today is going to have to know. We're going to have to reach a level of consecration and dedication. Bless the Lord. This book will help you. Reese Howell's intercessor will help you. Others will help you. But most of all, your Bible and your praying to God will help you. This is Billy Brim inviting you to call us, get your children, get your young people enrolled in the Champions for Christ youth rally that's coming up in July. It's quite a meeting. It will be July 26th through 30th. Just call us at 1-800-972-3447 to get the books we offered or to get your kids enrolled. This is Billy Brim saying Shabbat Shalom. Worship Him. Give Him His glory and give Him your life.